The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the days for Jesus to be taken up were fulfilled, he resolutely determined to journey to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On the way, he entered a Samaritan village to prepare for his reception there, but they would not welcome him because the destination of his journey was Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to consume them?" Jesus turned and rebuked them, and they journeyed to another village. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today we get to the real fulcrum of the Gospel of St. John, even though it's chapter 9 of a Gospel that has 24 chapters. This is the real center. It says Jesus resolutely determined to get to Jerusalem. In Greek, it's he fixed his face firmly on Jerusalem. This would be the fulfillment of all that the prophet Zechariah had foretold in the first reading, how Jesus on Calvary would become that newly rebuilt temple, indestructible after the crucifixion. It was ultimately to him that people would say, "Come, let us go to implore the Lord's favor. I will go to seek the Lord, and let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you." God is with us, reigning triumphantly on the cross. So many of our contemporaries, when they see Jesus on the crucifix, see just a sign of pain and suffering. We behold the happiest person who has ever walked on earth at the supreme moment of his triumph. Jesus wants us to firmly fix our face on him on Calvary, so that with him we can firmly fix our face on God. Samaritans didn't want that because of a theological dispute with the Jews. When Jesus came to their town, they didn't welcome him, even though Jesus had already been to this place. And even though he had spoken to that Samaritan woman at the well, and they had finished that whole scene saying, "Truly, this is the Savior of the world," they were just going to accept him under their conditions. And Jesus wanted to save all, both Jews and Samaritans. And unfortunately, they didn't want to fix their face on where he had. Likewise, neither did James and John, the great apostles. Jesus had come to save the Samaritans, not to destroy them. And so their reaction to call down fire from heaven to destroy Samaria was totally opposed to what Jesus was doing. But as Jesus firmly fixes his face on Calvary, we likewise have to ask, do we fix our face on him on Calvary? We know that when Jesus first started talking about his crucifixion, nobody wanted to pay attention to those words. As Cardinal Parolin said to us on Saturday, the four times Jesus mentioned that he was going to be crucified, they always changed the subject. Imagine if I were to tell you I got a diagnosis yesterday and the doctor's given me 2 weeks to live, and then you started arguing about who was the greatest or whether you would have the greatest portion of my inheritance or whatever. That's what they did to Jesus. To flip it around, today we celebrate a great saint who shows us how to keep our face firmly fixed on Jesus. We call her Saint Therese of the Child Jesus, but her real name is Saint Therese of the Child Jesus in the Holy Face. When she would make altar palls, she would always paint on that face of Jesus, not the face of the baby Jesus in Mary's arm in Bethlehem, but the bloody face on Calvary, because she saw no one ever more handsome than him at that time. Her whole little way of love is a way of trust, like she beheld in Jesus on Calvary. Total trust in the Father's providence, total trust in his love that could not be murdered. And throughout her own musings, through her poems, through her letters, St. Therese was constantly trying to keep her focus on Jesus on Calvary and help anyone who would read, especially our fellow religious, to do the same. I'd like to share with you a few of her poems. They're key to really celebrating this feast day well. In one, she writes, "To live of love is not to fix one's tent on Tabor's height and there with you remain. 'Tis to climb Calvary with strength nigh spent and count thy heavy cross our truest gain." So many of the times we want to build our tent on Mount Tabor, the Transfiguration, where we see Jesus in its transfigured glory. She wanted to build it on Calvary. She said, "In heaven my life shall be a joy. Thy heavy cross shall then be gone for aye forever. Here upon earth in suffering with thee, love, let me stay." She knew that it was here on earth, sharing in the cross, that she would grow in love of the Lord. In another poem, she stressed her desire to be crucified to the world so that she might share more deeply in Jesus' saving will. "I long for suffering in the cross," she said, "with strong desire my heart doth crave. 1,000 deaths were gained, not lost, if but one soul I helped to save." Her whole life was to share Jesus' mission of the salvation of the human race. And if that required her suffering, and it did, she lost her mom when she was 4. She lost her dad to dementia when she was in the convent. She went through a terrible dark night of the soul for the last 2 years of her life. She suffered with tuberculosis. She was willing to endure all of that just to gain the graces so that you and I would be saved, so that Pranzini, that convict, would be saved, so that the most hardened sinners would be saved. That's what she beheld. Last poem, she teaches us practically how to walk the way of the cross. "O Jesus, O my love, each eve I come to fling before your sacred cross sweet flowers of all the year. By these plucked petals bright, my hands how gladly bring, I long to dry thine every tear, to scatter flowers. That means each sacrifice, my lightest sighs and pain, my heaviest, saddest hours, my hopes, my joys, my prayers. I will not count the price. Behold my flowers." All the contradictions of the day she saw as rose petals she could throw with love on Jesus on the cross. We too have to suffer a lot in our life, some physical pain, some emotional, some spiritual, some pain in our friendships. All of those can be converted following the little way of St. Thérèse to beautiful, fragrant rose petals showered with love on love with a capital L on Calvary. To set our face on Jerusalem, on Calvary, and the cross, it's ultimately all about this love. Today we're going to have a chance to see some of that love lived as we witness the renewal of vows of 3 daughters of St. Thérèse, missionary catechists of her little way, Mother Theodora, Sister Lourdes, Sister Elsa. Today, as you renew your vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, we learn from St. Thérèse how these are all part of cruciform love. By your vow of poverty, you crucify yourself to acquisitiveness and make Jesus your true wealth. By the vow of chastity, you sacrifice the desires of the flesh for a much greater and lasting love. By your vow of obedience, you crucify your own desire to do your own thing in order to be able to listen so attentively to God's whisper that you might follow him all the way home. Today we pray for you. We thank God for you. We ask that, like St. Thérèse, you might come to the deepest fulfillment of these vows, true communion with the poor, chaste, and obedient one, as you prepare to be united with him as we do in Holy Communion. The greatest way St. Thérèse grew in cruciform love was here at Mass. This is where the love of God shown for us on the cross becomes real. Every day at Mass, St. Thérèse was able to say in the words of the prophet Zechariah today, "Come, let us go to implore the favor of the Lord. I will go to seek the Lord. This is truly where God is with us, as we behold the Lamb of God, the Savior of the world, who can't keep his eyes off of us. Let us ask him, as we prepare to receive his body, blood, soul, and divinity, to give us his eyes, so that we might keep our eyes always on the target he has set, and on the Father in heaven, where we hope with Saint Therese to behold his holy face forever. Praise be Jesus Christ.